Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from Lake George, where it's absolutely beautiful. We got a lot to get to today. Last night, former number one overall pick Casey Mize made his debut with the Detroit Tigers, and it was impressive from the get-go.
Well, I hope I get to say this for a long, long time. Tonight's starting pitcher for the Tigers is Casey Mize. And Casey is a kid, number one draft choice, number one in the country out of Auburn University.
1-2 to Moncada.
Oh, got him.
Save that one.
Wow.
First of many in his major league career.
Look at the depth. This is a changeup right here, and the ball just absolutely sinks. Really good the way he turns it over, and that ball just runs like crazy.
Guy who's always been around the zone. Here's the 2-2. Swung on and missed. Couple of strikeouts in the first inning of his first major league game.
That from the Tigers television network, the analyst in that broadcast, as you heard, Hall of Famer Jack Morris. Yeah, Casey Mize with a filthy changeup. His line, 4 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts. Sort of a lot of promise, definitely a lot of promise that we saw last night. Astros star DH Yordan Alvarez going to have season-ending knee surgery. Manager Dusty Baker says Alvarez, who was placed in the 10-day IL Tuesday because of that right knee discomfort, will miss the rest of the season. Astros third baseman Alex Bregman had to leave Houston's game against the Rockies on Wednesday with a hamstring issue. We don't know exactly how serious that is. The Mariners designated former All-Star Daniel Vogelbach for assignment. The Brewers played the Twins, and Christian Yelich, who got off to a slow start this year, is all the way back.
1-2 pitch. This is hit in the air to deep center field. Racing back is Buxton. He looks up, climbs the wall. It is gone for Christian Yelich. A 2-run blast for Yelich on a fastball that he sent out of here for his 6th of the season. And the Brewers lead it 6-1.
That from 620 WTMJ. The final score there was 9-3. Look, the Yankees look good this year, but they have really struggled against their nemesis, the Tampa Bay Rays. This was the 8th inning. Zach Britton on the mound for the Yankees.
Hot shot, base hit, center field. Lau's on his way to the plate. Hicks will make the throw back to second. Brandon Lau scores. Martinez goes to third. Brasso comes through again, and the Rays lead 3-2.
Dwayne Statz on the Rays television network. Tampa Bay would win that game 4-2. The Mets and the Marlins are tied 3-3. Top of the 9th inning. Michael Conforto with the plate for the Mets.
2-1 pitch. Swinging a high fly ball. Well hit. Right center. Going back. VR on the run. He won't get it. Nobody will. It's gone. A home run for Michael Conforto. Michael Conforto with his 4th home run of the year. And the Mets have taken a 5-3 lead in the top of the 9th inning.
Howie Rose, the great Howie Rose on WCBS. The Indians and the Pirates, it was 0-0 top of the 6th inning, and this happened.
And it's swung on and hammered to deep right field. This ball gone. Top row of the seats just before the Allegheny River. And Carlos Santana got a cutter and smoked a 3-run home run to right. And for the second night in a row, Santana with a big-time game-changing 3-run homer.
That call on WTAM 1100 from Tom Hamilton. It was Tom's birthday, and he got to call an Indians victory 6-1. Albert Pujols continues to move up the leaderboards. And with this plate appearance, he tied Alex Rodriguez in one of baseball's most important numbers.
Albert lines one in the left. That's going to fall in for a base hit. Going for the plate and coming in and scoring from second will be Rendon. And Albert gets an RBI single to get the Angels a little bit closer in this game. It's now 5-2.
For Albert Pujols, career RBI number 2,086. He ties Alex Rodriguez from Terry Smith on Angels Radio, AM 830. The San Diego Padres have been one of the most exciting teams in this short season. Fernando Tatis Jr., well, he did it again, bottom of the 3rd.
Fly ball, deep center field. Solak looks up, gone. There's number 12. Fernando does it again. Arlington, San Diego, doesn't matter. Same result. 2-1 Padres, thanks to two more home runs here in the third inning.
Yeah, from 97.3, the Fan. The Padres were losing, however. In the bottom of the 10th inning, it was 3-2. San Diego loaded the bases, and this is what happened.
Now Montero, he's ready to go again. High fly ball, deep left center field. Car rushed, ball going, ball long gone. Grand slam, Manny Machado. How about that for the first walk-off this year? Here go them boys.
That from my friend Ted Leitner, 97.3, the Fan. And during the course of the Reds and Kansas City doubleheader yesterday, Reds broadcaster Tom Brenneman was suspended from working Cincinnati's games after using an anti-gay slur on air Wednesday night, prompting the team to apologize for the, quote, horrific homophobic remark. Brenneman used the slur moments after the Fox Sports Ohio feed returned from a commercial break before the top of the seventh inning in the first game of a doubleheader at Kansas City. Brenneman did not seem to realize he was already on air. He later apologized. Fox Sports Ohio said in a statement that it agreed with the suspension, adding that Brenneman's remark was, quote, hateful, offensive, and in no way reflects the values of the network. Brenneman opened the fifth inning with an apology spoken directly to camera before handing off play-by-play duties. He said, I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I'm deeply ashamed of. If I had hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I am very, very sorry. He also said, I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. Reds relievers Amir Garrett tweeted about Brenneman's words shortly after the end of the second game to the LGBTQ community. Just know I am with you, and whoever's against you is against me. I'm sorry for what was said today. Now, before we get to Carl Ravitch to talk about what Tom Brenneman said and all the other news around baseball, Fantasy Focus Football is back weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Stefania Bell, and Mike Clay are here to help you dominate your fantasy league. Watch the show on YouTube, Twitter, on the ESPN app, and listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And oh, my son, Jake, 16 years old, crazy about fantasy football, he'll definitely be on board. Don't forget to draft your team, compete with your friends, and take home the crown by signing up now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All aboard. It's the Rabbit Train with Carl Ravitch.
All right, Carl, let's start with something fun before we talk about what Tom Brenneman said yesterday. Let's talk about Casey Mize making his Major League debut for the Detroit Tigers. I've always thought there's nothing more exciting, nothing more enjoyable than watching an uber-talented young pitcher early in his career and to see the unveiling of the stuff. And I know he had a mixed bag in terms of his overall pitching line, but you could see it, especially that first strikeout with that crazy changeup he threw for the strikeout.
Changeup, splitter, fastball, hair like Gerrit Cole. You know, we did a Tigers game last week and spoke to Ron Gardenhire. And I'll be honest, there was a feeling of almost, I don't want to say defeated, but he was really down. And he was down for a lot of reasons, but probably most important was, you know, his age and COVID-19 and how none of this is easy or fun. But we talked about the idea that you have Scooble and Mize down there, and it felt like he was really at the whim of the general manager, you know, Al Avila. And he wasn't sharing at all whether Mize was going to come up. And this of course, comes on the heels of the Nova injury. And you're like, well, why wouldn't you do that? And he didn't, you know, he was deflecting. He didn't have a great answer. He may have already known this was the decision, but this was probably 48 hours before they did it. The service time question wasn't on the docket anymore. Having seen Dane Dunning pitch at Florida and Mize at Auburn and College World Series and all those things, and seeing what he had done in the minor leagues, you were like, well, I don't understand what this big decision is. And there were some comps to Justin Verlander when Jim Leland was there and Dave Dombrowski back in 06, and then they made that call. And this isn't comparing Mize to Verlander, but you have a young guy, and we live in an era now in which this is a young man's game. Why isn't this an obvious, of course we're bringing up Casey Mize? And yes, when they did, he showed, like many other youngsters that come into the game who have uber talent, as you described it, he belongs, and he pitched like he belonged last night. And in a shortened season, when you're still kind of sniffing around, like, why wouldn't you do that? So, yeah, for Tigers fans, a peek into the future, really encouraging. He was great, and I think he'll be great. And again, to somebody that comes out of an SEC school like you do, it's another tip of the cap to the quality of baseball in that conference.
I loved your framing that, Carl, and mentioning Verlander, because as you were talking, I'm thinking, you know what? It's like deja vu all over again. You know, the Tigers in the early 2000s were the worst team in baseball. They were horrific. And Justin Verlander arrived. And think about all the Tigers accomplished after he arrived. In the last couple of years, the Tigers have been god-awful. And now Casey Mize has arrived. And if you told me that in, you know, 10, 12 years that, like Verlander, he would be the leader of the staff and taking them into the postseason, that wouldn't be a shock to me based on what we've seen so far.
No, and again, I mean, I don't want to dismiss other conferences, but Mize has pitched at his level. We've seen him in College World Series, and he was a leader on those Auburn teams. You know, Verlander became the leader. The Tigers have a leadership void on the field, depleted the last couple of years. You need a leader. He is that. And I imagine you saw it on social media. There was a really neat video that was put out by the Mize family, all of whom were, you know, wishing him support. There was a Twitter, and I imagine it was on other social media platforms, about how difficult, you know, a road it's been for him, in the sense that this is a lot of pain in the ass work you put in. You deserved it. His brother talked. I think it was his wife who talked, his in-laws who talked, his parents who talked. You just got the sense the foundation was real solid, and the moment wasn't too big for him last night when you watched. And that was really encouraging. That's something you always look for. Like, there was no deer in a headlight look from Casey Mize, and his stuff plays. There's no question.
You heard what Tom Brenneman said, Carl. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was obviously a terrible, insensitive, regrettable. And, you know, Tom Brenneman and I are literally the same age and have been doing this for about the same length of time. And I'm sure he knows it. I'm sure I've seen the apologies, et cetera. But we live, rightfully so, in a zero tolerance policy era. And when you say something like he said, as he said, when I took my headsets off, I'm not sure I'm going to ever put these headsets on again. You can't be too careful in the things you say. For broadcasters that are aspiring to get into this industry, you have to assume that every microphone is always on. And if you say something like that, you're bound to be caught. And, you know, I'm sure the Reds are going to react swiftly. Major League Baseball has indicated now for years that they have no tolerance for comments like that. And again, I feel badly that a career like that is going to end the way it's going to end. And, you know, there's not much else to say other than zero tolerance. And you just know that those things, those comments, those thoughts are are things that need to be avoided. They're not allowed.
Yeah, and look, you make a great point. We've all been in situations where we want to say something and we've got a microphone on, and I was told a story when I did radio in Kansas City today about how doing SportsCenter, you know, one of the anchors during the commercial break will ask you a question about a sensitive issue, and you'll say, I'm going to call you after the show. But that's a separate thing from, you know, what's behind the comment that he made in the comfort level. I'm sure that Major League Baseball, the Reds, will be able to get audio of what leading up to whatever was said in that conversation. And I would be asking questions about, okay, is this the first time? Have there been similar comments? Because the free and loose nature of it and what he said just made me cringe, Carl.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it fell in line with just the conversation was. That's an interesting thought of what led up to it, because what immediately followed it was, I believe, like a read of a promo. So it just felt like it was a conversation that had a level of familiarity with whoever he was talking to. You know, and a lot of times you want to pull back the curtain on our business. You can, during a commercial, communicate with the producer, who's oftentimes talking in your ear, and obviously the public can't hear that. You can speak to the other people on the telecast, and nobody out there can hear it because you're pressing a talk back button, and that allows you a line of communication with the people who are on the broadcast. But again, this is not the first case where, when you're not speaking to the public, meaning you're not broadcasting, that you have to recognize, just because I'm not broadcasting hardly means that there aren't other people listening. For instance, you know, when we do our Zoom calls or KBO calls, there's a number of people who can log into that back channel broadcast and observe it and watch it and listen to it. And just those eyes and ears that are on you that you're not even aware of. You know, for Tom Brenneman and everyone else, it's a cautionary tale, regardless of, you know, your own personal feelings. You've got to put those, whatever they may be, in a drawer and leave them there anytime you have a headset on or you're near a headset. So, again, I think he's aware of what the outcome of this is going to be. It's really unfortunate, but brought on by the individual looking in the mirror.
Yesterday, Cincinnati Reds starter Trevor Bauer told our Jeff Passan he was told by Major League Baseball he could be subject to discipline and removal from a game if he wears the custom-made cleats he had manufactured that say Free Joe Kelly on one shoe and have a pouty face Kelly of the suspended Dodgers pitcher on the other. Kelly, of course, was banned for 8 games. He appealed it. It was cut down to 5. And I thought about this, Carl, because, of course, there was a lot of support for Trevor on social media. You know, like, poor Trevor Bauer, he's getting picked on here. But I thought about this, and I came down to this. I don't know a line of business, an industry, where you could wear a piece of clothing with a message on it that would question that business at your place of work. It wouldn't exist. For example, Tim Kurkjian, who never does anything wrong. Imagine if he were suspended by ESPN, and you and I, in support of Tim, wanted to go on air, you know, Free Tim Kurkjian. There's no chance that we would be let on air. There'd be none. If we insisted on trying to do it, we would be fired. I know that a lot of times, like, Major League Baseball is viewed as being over-officious. For example, the use of the first responder caps after 9/11 for Mets games. But in this case, I don't blame them. What do you think?
Yeah, we interviewed Trevor Bauer. I've talked to him before. He was on our telecast a few years ago, and it was one of the most interesting conversations that we had. And I think in a lot of ways for us, it led to more and more in-game interviews with players. He's thoughtful. He's intelligent. He will challenge people. And in the case of the Free Joe Kelly cleats, look, I think he's smart enough to know. And even if you saw his post on Twitter, that this was going to lead to a reaction from Major League Baseball. He knew that. I think there's a little bit of trolling going on here with Major League Baseball. I think in this time, the lines between free speech and First Amendment are blurred to the degree that you feel obligated sometimes if you are that type of person to push those. There was no way that those were going to be allowed. And perhaps it was the one cleat that said free Joe Kelly. I'm not certain that a pouty faced Joe Kelly would have led to the same reaction from Major League Baseball if you put two pouty faces on one on each cleat. But free Joe Kelly is a direct, you know, as you said, a direct sort of charge to Major League Baseball, like enough's enough. And again, a lot of times when you say things like that or you take a side, you're obviously alienating yourself from the other side, which in this case, it's easy to free Joe Kelly because he did something to the Astros. And wow, the majority of people hate the Astros. So I'm going to get on this side of this. And I know the majority is going to follow me because Joe Kelly was, you know, in my opinion, he was in the right to do what he did and throw at the Astros, and they deserve it. So, you know, you have the support. The idea that social media, which is an area that Trevor Bauer lives in and does really well and knows how to rally the people behind him. The reaction from social media to me was obvious. Like, they're, of course, they're going to love this. They're going to support it. But I'm not certain that they were genuine in their poor Trevor Bauer. I don't feel badly for Trevor Bauer in the sense that he was not allowed to wear the cleats, and he can certainly sell them and he can donate money to charity and serve a purpose that I think he wanted to serve. But that was an obvious one. Let's put this ball on the tee, and I know Major League Baseball is going to take a big swipe at it. And they did.
And you know what? All of it seems to obscure the fact that right now he might be the best pitcher in baseball, and he's a free agent this fall. And when I did that radio in Kansas City today, they asked if, you know, Trevor's reputation is sometimes being difficult, might cost him in free agency. And the comparison I made, and it's not apples to apples, but you remember after Manny Machado became a free agent, there was a lot of debate in the industry about, you know, how much should he get? And some people were concerned about comments that Manny had made. And, you know, does this guy play hard all the time? But the San Diego Padres stepped up and made a big offer. I think that's exactly what's going to happen with Trevor. I think there are going to be some teams that are going to shy away from the social media stuff and said, you know what, we're not going to be, but somebody's going to give him an absolute ton of money.
Look, there's things about Trevor Bauer that you really, really respect and like, and his desire to become a better pitcher and then actually going out and doing it is certainly one of those things that is admirable and respectable. He works his ass off, and he shows people that he's working his butt off, and it has translated into him becoming a very, very effective pitcher. Then the beautiful part about Trevor in another way too is, He's going to dictate the outcome of this negotiation. I don't know if Trevor Bauer wants a long-term deal or he wants, I earn this. I want a massive one-year deal. And let me go earn it again the next year. I don't know, but I do know that because of his personality and his opinions, he at least allows you to think differently. Like, well, how is he going to play this on the pitching side? Absolutely. And the Machado thing is really a good comparison. Because we were watching again last night with the walk-off grand slam from Machado, the catch he made the other day, running out, you know, 100 feet to right field. You're reminded when Manny Machado isn't doing those things off the field or making comments, just how damn good a baseball player he is. And Bauer's doing the same thing. On the same day that I can tweet about Joe Kelly's cleats, the best thing I can do for the Trevor Bauer brand is to pitch a game like I pitched, a 7-inning complete game. That's the best thing he can do. The other stuff to me, you know, they're the sprinkles that you put on an ice cream. They're the hot fudge. Those get me to the bones here. Get me to the foundation, get me to the roots. And right now at the root, this guy can flat out pitch. And that's the most important thing. If you want to grow your brand, you got to pitch. And the way that you continue to pitch is to pitch at the level he's pitching. And he knows that.
The Yankees are, on paper, the best team in the American League. And yet, Carl, there's the Tampa Bay Rays, who just keep on beating them when they play. They win 4-2 last night in a game in which Gerrit Cole started for the Yankees. What are you seeing in this rivalry? And you could throw the Oakland Athletics into that mix as well, because it's pretty clear they're going to make the postseason.
Yeah, I was reading a promo last night during our game, the Giants and Angels game, and the promo, of course, is written the day before or the day of, and it was promoting the Yankees game coming up and how the Yankees have the best record in baseball, and they had just lost to the Rays, and I checked and I said, hang on a second, and they had the same record the Twins did and the A's did, so I was like, oh yeah, they got it right. Then I kept scrolling down, oh, hold on, Dodgers better. So it wasn't fact anymore, but it was not fact, not because the other teams were where they were. It was the Rays had beaten them, and it's 5 out of 6 now. And, you know, the idea that these Yankees on paper are the same Yankees that could be on the field in a month when you bring back DJ LeMahieu and Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, that's different. There's no question about it. And any team that faces them when they're at full strength are dealing with a hell of a lot different animal than what the Rays dealt with last night. But your point is valid. Gerrit Cole was on the mound. You know, when you think about baseball teams now, there are not a lot of them that go into a game with the pitching the way it is now and the bullpens that most of them have, and they say to themselves, we likely will win tonight because he's on the mound. There's just not a lot. I thought about that with these other great teams or good teams. The Rays have Glasnow and they have Snell. And when Morton comes back, we probably should win because our pitcher is likely better. But Cole is, well, we're going to win because Gerrit Cole's on the mound. Well, they didn't. And it was the Rays who have beaten them 5 out of 6. And that's, you know, that's the important part of that game. It's not LeMahieu and Judge and Stanton's absence. It's that they believe now that even in a game, if we have to face him in the postseason and Gerrit Cole starts, we've had success. And by the way, Brasso comes up against Zach Britton and he gets the big hit in the game. So the same way the Red Sox, you know, had nightmares with Mariano Rivera, the nightmares to some extent from the Rays, you know, even last night, Cole, Britton, I know Chapman wasn't there, but it was Britton, and Kevin Cash decided to bring in a pinch hitter. And it worked. There's now going to be, before game one of a series, the conversation isn't, oh, God, it's Cole. It's, well, we beat Gerrit Cole. That's really important.
No, they're not afraid. And I think that familiarity, and you made a, you know, I think an apt comparison to Rivera and Red Sox, because Mariano Rivera, the rest of the baseball world, for his entirety of his career, was this unhittable force. And for the Red Sox, it was somebody that they, you know, I don't want to say they beat all the time, but they were, had some level of confidence. The way the Yankees treated Pedro Martinez, you know, as great as Pedro was, the Yankees had some level of confidence, and that's what the Rays have now against the Yankees. All right, Carl, thanks for doing this. Always great to talk with you.
You too. Thanks, Buster.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Thursday. First up, Scott Stone at Scott underscore watching it. I can't read. Oh my God. So I need to blow up the text. I can't look at your email, Buster. Ah. Are there any rules regarding crowd noise in rescheduled games played in the other team's park? The Nats bent over backwards to make the Jays feel at home, but in every other such game I've seen, the quote unquote crowd is cheering for the quote unquote visitors.
Yeah, Scott, I didn't notice that the way you did. I'm going to ask some questions and find out if there are rules. My guess is there are absolutely no rules because, let's face it, baseball's been overwhelmed by the day-to-day events, and I suspect this is one of those things that was left behind.
I was kind of wondering that too. It doesn't seem like there are any out there.
No.
PK Steinberg writes in, have you talked to any players about watching the games from the stands, the fans' eye view? Do they kind of like it?
No, I think they kind of don't. I remember listening to Max Scherzer on a Zoom call with reporters when he was talking about, you know, this was early on in the season, and he was talking about the rules, about whether or not he could be in the dugout. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to find a way to be in the dugout. Well, as we've gone along and you've had outbreaks with some various teams and some rules have changed, the players have been put into the stands, and I generally speaking think that they would much rather be in the dugout.
Last one for today, Trevor Dunning at TL Dunning writes in, hey Buster, with so many seven-inning games, will some hitting stats such as the home run leader be determined per plate appearance versus total count?
No, Trevor, I don't think so. I think we'll still look at the home run leader as being the guy who accumulates the most home runs. But it's a fair question when you're talking about teams like the Marlins and the Cardinals, you know, players on those teams potentially playing far fewer games than some of their peers.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And Buster, we have a really cool guest tomorrow. Want to share who it is?
Sure. Dansby Swanson, the Atlanta Braves, shares his thoughts with us about what it's been like to play this year. And he had strong feelings about that unusual home run celebration that he had after walking it off for the Braves. This will make you laugh. That's it for today. My thanks to Carl and to Taylor. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we must fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.